Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and today we're continuing our conversation with Janet Porter. Janet is leading the charge in the battle against Target's new bathroom policy. But as you'll hear in just a moment, it's about more than just boycotting a store. Gender identity issues have even invaded schools around the nation. This is something every parent needs to know more about. But before we get to the conversation, let me introduce our guest for those who may have missed any part of yesterday's broadcast. Janet is the president and founder of Faith to Action, the nation's largest network of pro-family groups. She also hosts a 60-second daily radio commentary, which airs in over 200 markets. And she's authored 5 books, including The Criminalization of Christianity. She is passionately pro-life, pro-family, and proactive, and you can hear her now on today's edition of Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk. I'm your host, Dr. James Dobson, and my co-host, as usual, is Dr. Meg Meeker. And as strongly as I feel about the fight against Target, my great concern is for what we're doing to the public schools, where the transgender movement has just taken over, and schools are teaching the entire LGBT movement as though it were one of the academic essentials. Those little wide-eyed kids, especially those in elementary school, but going all the way through the high school, have no idea how they are being manipulated. And if we really saw how those teachers are often teaching and the books that they're providing for the kids to make this case, we're losing our kids right in front of our eyes. And parents out there, you've got to stand up and do something about it. Those school board officials are elected individuals. You can vote them out. You have got to stand up and be counted.
And one of the things, I believe it was Dan Patrick in Texas, Lieutenant Governor, the AG, I'm trying to remember now who it was, but he said that essentially if they don't change this in the public schools, you're going to see a mass exodus, that there are going to be people going to charter schools and to Christian schools. You're going to see people homeschooled. This is putting our children in harm's way, and we need to stand against it before another child is harmed.
You know, there's so many levels on which this is absurd. I mean, it's hard to imagine that we're actually having this conversation. But first of all, think about one thing. In an age in medicine, when we're focusing more and more on the importance of genetics in illness and disease and genetic manipulation, and we're believing that everything is given to you through your genes, here we have an instance where we're throwing all of that out. We said, but in this instance, genes don't matter. So, you know, there's an enormous irony there. The second thing is, I think that psychologically, it's so traumatizing to children who have an identity. Imagine a third grade girl, 8, 9 years old, dressed like a girl, looks like a girl, walks in, sees 99% of the kids in her class. One looks like a girl, one looks like a boy. And then the teacher comes along and said, well, that one looks like a girl, but it's really not a girl. You have to call her him. Now, in that child's mind, that child says, well, what's wrong with me? Because the teacher said that what I'm seeing is inaccurate. So clearly my ability to size up my community and to figure out that what I see is correct is wrong. You really want to psychologically twist a young kid up? That's exactly how you do it, is teach them that they can't evaluate life around them.
Janet, are you familiar with the case in Canada where a judge ruled that if an individual says, I am different than I look like I am, I'm a boy instead of a girl or a girl instead of a boy, that the school is required by law to refer to that child by the gender they choose?
They're teaching kids to lie. That's exactly what's happening, Doc, but it's not just in Canada. In the state of New York, let's say you are a landowner. You've got some tenants on your property, and Billy likes to be called Betty. If your official documents to Billy, even though that's his official name, Don't say Betty. Don't refer to him or her by the pronoun of their choice. In fact, some of these guys don't want the pronouns him or her. They want HYR and all these different imaginations of what they want to be called. If you don't do it, you're going to be facing thousands of dollars in fines from the state of New York if you don't refer to people in this pretend game of impersonation that they want us all to have to go along with. This is insanity. And I'm telling you, if there's not a line that should not be crossed, I mean, this is the line that we need to stand up and fight over. I mean, look, they've crossed it. They've crossed the line because it's not just harming all of these people who are living a life of a lie, of impersonation, who are being put at risk, according to the APA, of 4 out of 10 committing suicide or attempting suicide. But it's also putting, as we've mentioned, women and young girls at risk.
Yes.
You know, the newspaper in Charlotte just said that, look, little girls, if you don't like men exposing their genitalia to you, then you just need to get over your discomfort. Really? Yeah. Have we come to that place where we're telling little girls to get over their discomfort, their natural tendency to protect themselves, self-preservation, to say, no, I don't want to change clothes with a man, a grown man standing next to me, and they're telling, we just, all of us Christians, all of us pro-family, anybody who cares about children, you just need to get over it.
Janet, can you imagine a junior high boy showering next to a junior high girl and oogling her body? I mean, have we gone nuts? We're absolutely crazy.
But, you know, this whole idea of breaking down modesty has been long in coming. We saw it with the sexual revolution. We saw it with the sex education in schools and teaching kindergartners about, you know, sex acts and things like this. And I think the primary tenet is modesty is unnatural. Modesty that God gave us as a self-protective mechanism, the other side says, is unnatural. So we need to break that down. That little girl that feels uncomfortable looking at a man change, again, she's wrong, he's right. So it's really chipping away at the God-given sensibilities that God put in us.
Yeah.
You know, it's beyond that, though. As Dr. Dobson just said, this is beyond even discomfort. We're not even talking about, you know, something we just might be uncomfortable with. We're talking about safety. You know, you think back to your high school class, you think back to your junior high school class, and you know what? There's probably one or two or a handful of kids that would say, you know what, that's an opportunity for me. I'm just going to go in there with my camera phone, and I'm going to destroy some girl's life. And you know what? There's nothing they can do. And I'm going to call them a transphobe, and I'm going to go after them if they dare try to stop me. And yeah, there'll be an opportunity. We just saw this happen in a gym. And this was in North Carolina, where a man was hiding behind the tanning bed, comes out and assaults this woman, and so he was just looking for his keys in the room that was dark. The woman comes in, turns on the light, changes the clothes, and here's this man comes up. If they have the opportunity, they will take it. Because keep in mind, there's no prerequisite, there's no screening process at the door of any of these facilities. It's the 800,000 registered sex offenders. It's the pedophiles. It's all of these people who are predators who are just looking for the opportunity. And now there's no safeguard to keep them out unless we stand, and we stand together now.
Let me share a scripture with you all that I came across that speaks to this issue. It's addressed directly to parents, I think. It's Leviticus 19:29. Listen to this. Do not degrade your daughters by making them a prostitute, or the land will turn to prostitution and be filled with wickedness. That comes right to the heart of this. It sort of feels like that's where we are. We're taking our little vulnerable kids and we're saying, in the name of political correctness, here are our children. Do with them what you want. And I'm here to say that I'm going to fight that as long as I have breath in my body. And I want to tell you something else. As a man, I not only care about my daughter, and I care about little girls across the country, I care about Shirley. I don't want Shirley being in a bathroom where some grungy guy comes in there and zips down his zipper and does things that she will remember the rest of her life. I mean, where is manhood that we don't stand up and defend our own families? And I think we're going to be responsible before the Lord if we don't do it.
You know, Doc, I completely agree. And what is the reason why some are still sitting on the sidelines? Because they're afraid of being called a mean name. They don't want to be called a bigot or a transphobe or a homophobe. So, yeah, let the women and the children suffer. That's what's happening. And we need men of courage, especially at this hour, to stand and fight.
I think it's a badge of honor to be identified with this effort to defend righteousness in the culture.
Absolutely. You know, and this is why it gets under my skin so much, because this directly affects the children who can't speak for themselves, who don't understand what's going on, who feel confused, who feel hurt, who feel their modesty torn down, and they can't identify what's happening. And if their parents don't step in their place and say, this is not okay for my son or my daughter, those children are just... woe to us who do not intervene on behalf of our kids. That's all I can say.
They're sitting ducks.
They are.
You know, the Bible says it's better to have a millstone hung around your neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. And I think, both docs, that this applies not just to those in the schools that are doing this, those in the White House and the Target Corporation, but I think it applies to parents. Because if you don't vigilantly watch what they're teaching your children, if you don't stand now, school administrators, if you don't stand now and fight this, then this verse, I believe, applies to you. Because these children are being led astray. They're being harmed. They're being violated. And the only thing that can protect them is for those adults in authority to stand now and fight. This is our moment. This is our hour to stand. And I think, again, in the example in this culture, if we make an example of Target, it helps us with the schools, with all of the fronts, all the city and county commissions that are pushing this nonsense through. We've got to stand, and I think we need to not back off until either the policies change or we see corporations like Target go bankrupt.
Mm-hmm. Well, we explained a few minutes ago that we have recorded this program a little bit earlier because of the convenience factor for the three of us. So it will have occurred already. But Janet, talk about what is going to happen on the 4th and what's going to happen on the 8th.
What's going to happen on the 4th is people all around the country are going to gather at their local Targets. They're going to hold signs like, don't be a Target, and don't target our daughters. Target is dangerous. They're going to warn the shoppers going in about their policy that puts women and children in particular at risk. And so we're going to gather there the Saturday before the 8th, and we're going to communicate this message not only through the media, but through the social media, and let people know. In fact, I think there'll be some, and there have already been, men who dress up as women, only they're doing it for a righteous purpose. They're holding signs that say things like, see you in the ladies' room, so that shoppers go in and take notice. Hold on a second. I don't want to see men in the ladies' room. I don't want my children to be exposed to this. And so we're going to make sure that if the Target CEO says that he didn't notice a $10 billion drop in his stock prices, well, then maybe we need to have him see a bit more. There needs to be more losses for him to sit up and take notice. And the message is that the Saturday before the shareholders meeting is to get this out far and wide so that the average stockholder that goes to the meeting that's taking place the day of this show being aired is going to, they're going to be voting. And I think the vote is, do you want to lose more money or do you want to make money and protect the customers and the family base that is saying no right now to coming to your dangerous store because of your policy? And so what we're asking people to do as they're listening now is to pray for that meeting. It is going to take, I believe, an act of God for Target to move off their misfire of pushing the agenda at the expense of women and children. But I believe if there's enough shareholders who say, no, we'd rather make money than lose money, we might see a reverse in this policy. And if we don't, well, then we need to cost them more than the $10 billion they've already lost.
There is precedent for this because a number of years ago, I took on an organization called Abercrombie and Fitch. And the issue had to do with teenagers who were partially clothed, pictures throughout the store. The catalog had nudity in it. It was really trying to entice kids with illicit sex. And we took them on and we shut them down. And there was such a response to that movement among the stockholders that the organization backed off and went another direction. So you can win. Money talks.
It does. I remember that.
It all comes down to money.
And you know what? We are in a perfect position to win this because it's our families that are going to Target. We're the customer base. It's not the transgender. They are a fraction of a 1%. But we're actually the customer base that they need to have to stay in business. And so I think that the sleeping giant has awakened, that we actually, there are more of us than there are of them. And we just need to use the freedom, to use the system that is, we're wonderfully blessed in America, to not only petition those in our government to change these policies, but to stand against the Obama administration in the courts, and to use the power of the dollar to say we're not going to shop there. Guess what? You put our children at risk, you put our women at risk, we're going to Walmart, we're going somewhere else. And that's a wonderful thing. And what we're seeing is there's a wave. There is a wave that I believe can become a tsunami against this assault, against really sanity. It's really insanity to put children at risk because of some agenda that the APA itself lists as a mental disorder.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is an issue that 99% of America agrees with, what we're saying here, which is we should not have transgender bathrooms. And, you know, this isn't just an isolated, odd bill that the president's or Congress is trying to get through. This is a mainstream American issue, and the assault is against us. And so I encourage all of your listeners, whether your friends are Christian or not, you know, really rally them and come together and don't be afraid, because everybody agrees, except a small percent of America, that we should not have transgender bathrooms.
What a shame that our president is one of that small number.
And he's honestly blackmailing schools.
Yeah.
You know, we need to take a lesson from the left right now, I think. On the issue of marriage, you remember back when we were fighting state by state, Doc? Mm-hmm. We were looking at the fact that they lost 36 states in a row. 36 states in a row. I mean, in the film Light Wins, we put a segment in there, that some of the articles we zoomed in on that said why marriage is such a losing issue for the homosexuals. But you know what? They didn't quit. They didn't give up and go away. Mm-hmm. They kept going. And ultimately, they saw the Supreme Court make this lawless shift. It's something that needs to be reversed. But it's something that we need to learn from. We're so afraid of someone giving the impression that we're just not loving and we're just not tolerant enough and we just need to be seeker-friendly. No, we need to stand for righteousness, and we need to protect children, and we need to obey God. And that's really what it comes down to. And if we don't do it now, we're going to find ourselves, like they are in Canada, where they're ordering us to do this in our own families. Stop it now before it gets there.
Janet, we've devoted two programs to this subject, and we could easily devote another 10. But I'd like you to kind of summarize for us and tell us what is best for us to think about doing during the summer. It will start on June 8th, and what should take place there? I'm talking to a lot of people who might not be comfortable in carrying a sign or protesting, but they don't have to spend money at Target, and we've already indicated the role that money plays. But what else can they do?
Well, they can let their local Target manager know, because that's their bread and butter. That's their job, and I think they'd rather stay employed than be unemployed. So I say let your local Target manager know. Be a part of additional protests if you're willing to do that. That's an important thing. If you have Target stock, I'd say I'm going to give you a stock tip. I don't know if that's ever been done on your program before, Doc, but I'm going to tell people get rid of it because it's going down. If we have anything to say about it, that Target's going to lose, its stock is going to lose even more than the $10 billion it's already lost. So the other thing we need to do is to find schools who are willing to say no to the Obama directive, to this transgender decree that he's pulled out of thin air. He doesn't have the legal standing to do it, but for the attorneys general to have the standing to sue, they need a school in a state to do that. So if you're a teacher, if you know a teacher, administrator, someone involved in the school system to say, you know what, we're going to put children's lives over the federal funding issue like they're doing in Texas and the 11 states that have filed suit, this is the moment to stand. Get your state listed on that lawsuit, and we need to stand and say, no, we're not going to roll over and let children be put in harm's way just because it's uncomfortable for us or they might call us a mean name. So the other thing I would encourage people to do, we need to continue to pray that Target is made an example of, that schools become safe, and that what I tell people, if you're going into any restroom in the public right now, bring your camera phone. That's a weapon because you've got a video camera on most smartphones. Take film of this. When this goes out on the internet, see, we've got social media to get the message out. Even if the regular media doesn't want to address this, we can get it out to people. In fact, there's a city councilwoman in Indiana whose daughter was approached inside the school restroom right off where the track and field meet. He just came into the room, and she's fired up. She's now looking to change these policies that allow this to happen, and that's what we've got to do. We've got to be willing to stand for our children right now. I'd rather be called a mean name by a lot of people that don't like me than have our children be put in harm's way.
Well, there are two other things I would suggest. One is to run for the school board. The school boards make the decisions for what those policies are going to be. And we need to vote those people out that are doing the wrong thing on behalf of our children. The second thing is to let the Congress know that you're not going to hold still for this. I'm concerned about the Republicans who have the capacity to be extremely wimpy on these politically correct issues. And they have done it just in the last few days. And so let the Republicans know. You can certainly let the Democrats know, although that's probably a lost cause given the position that the president has taken. But there are two things. Meg, anything else you're thinking of?
I would encourage our listeners to circulate a letter to all of their friends via email and write out a petition and ask people to say it, saying that they're going to boycott Target if they don't make some changes. And ask every friend to send it to 10 friends. And then take it to your local Target manager, because I think they need to see that there are actually numbers are huge out there of people who don't support what they're doing.
And I would issue a call beyond that to parents. Parents, this is your responsibility. These are your children. And it was in the state of Virginia that parents, because they unanimously called, there was not one call against it. All the parents in this Virginia school board said, do not do this. That's what caused the school board to vote and say, no, we're not going to let men use the girls' shower room and bathroom facilities. And that's it. It's the cry of people. It's the voice that we need to be heard right now. Use every means possible. Call into the local radio shows. You can sign up. There's some handouts and some resources available on my website, f2a.org, faith2action.org. And we'll help every way we can, but we got to keep the pressure on right now.
Wonderful.
You know, there is another reason that people are reluctant to do this. I know this from dealing with thousands of parents, that when we were talking a minute ago about people being embarrassed and not wanting to be embarrassed and not wanting to be politically incorrect and not wanting to be called bad names and so on, most of those parents are influenced by not wanting to embarrass their kids.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, it's what's being taught in school. And so to be a parent who stands up and opposes it scares them, because their kids will get mad at them. But you're doing it on behalf of those students. And
yes,
we have an obligation to do so as their parents.
Here's the bottom line we've got to remember. In the battle between darkness and light, light wins. If we will only shine it, we've got to be willing to shine the light in the darkness, because it will be seen.
Janet, thank you so much for being our guest on these 2 days. Our prayers are with you. You're on the forefront. You're out there taking the heat, and it takes a lot of courage to do that. And I appreciate you, and we stand with you. And Dr. Meeker, you as a physician in private practice have an opportunity to influence a lot of parents and students. And so you're on the front lines, too. In fact, we all are. I ask people to pray for us. You know, it's not fun to be attacked and vilified and threatened, but that's the world we live in, and we have to do it.
I agree, and I've been at this a while, and I champion abstinence in kids for 30 years, and I will tell you, I've seen it work. And when you've been through this and you stand for what's right and you see it work, it just encourages you to go even farther with the next thing. So I encourage our parents, really, do the right thing.
Well, God bless you, Dr. Dobson, Dr. Meeker. I'm grateful for all of your work, and what a privilege to come on your program to sound the alarm. And if we heed it, I think we're going to win.
You keep us informed, Janet.
Will do. God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Meeker.
Thank you. God bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
These policies are literally spreading across our nation like wildfire. So now is the time to act to protect children. If you don't speak out, you won't be heard. If you don't stand up, you won't be seen. You've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk with our guest, Janet Porter. I'm Roger Marsh, and if you'd like more information about how you can get involved, visit Faith to Action, Janet Porter's pro-life and pro-family ministry. We'll have a link at drjamesdobson.org. As you know, Family Talk is a listener-supported ministry, so if you're able to, we'd appreciate your support and contributions. So call us at 877-732-6825 or reach us via our website, drjamesdobson.org. We offer tremendous resources on our website to help you and your family, and we'd love to engage with you there. Thank you for joining us today. God bless, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.